Today, Steve begins a series of sermons on the book of Ruth. And today's focus is on the loyal love that Ruth had toward Naomi and how that reflects God's steadfast, loyal love. The love that Eileen spoke about with the children, the loyalty. And before we hear the scripture passage from Ruth, Steve asked that we watch a brief video. So turn your attention there, and then I will be reading from Ruth 1, verses 6 to 22, if you want to get that ready, if you care to follow along, or it will be projected. But watch, this is a video from Bible Project.
The Book of Ruth. It's a brilliant work of theological art, and it invites us to reflect on the question of how God is involved in the day-to-day joys and hardships of our lives. There are three main characters in the book: Naomi the widow, Ruth the Moabite, and Boaz the Israelite farmer. And their story is told in four chapters that are beautifully designed. Let's just dive in and see how this all unfolds. Chapter 1 opens with this line, "In the days when the judges ruled." And it reminds us of the very dark and difficult days from the book of Judges. And here we meet an Israelite family in Bethlehem, struggling to survive through a famine. And so in search of food, they move on to the land of Moab, Israel's ancient enemy. And there the father of the family dies, and the sons marry two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And then the sons, they die too. And so they leave only Naomi and these new daughters-in-law. And so Naomi, she has no reason to stay anymore. And so she tells her new daughters-in-law that she's moving back home. And Naomi, she knows that the life of an unmarried foreign widow in Israel is going to be very hard. And so she compels the women to stay behind. Orpah agrees. But Ruth does not. She shows remarkable loyalty to Naomi, and she says, "Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your people will become my people, and your God will become my God." And so the two of them return to Israel together. And the chapter concludes with Naomi changing her name to Mara, which means bitter in Hebrew, and she laments her tragic fate. Chapter 2 begins with Naomi and Ruth discussing where they're going to find food. And it just so happens to be the beginning of the barley harvest. And so Ruth goes out to look for food, and it just so happens that she ends up picking grain in the field of a man named Boaz, who just so happens to be Naomi's relative. We're told that Boaz is a man of noble character, and he notices Ruth. And so after finding out more about her story, he shows remarkable generosity to her. He makes these special provision so that the immigrant Ruth can gather grain in his field. And in doing so, Boaz is actually obeying an explicit command of the Torah to show generosity to the immigrant and the poor. Boaz is so impressed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, he prays for her that God will reward her for her boldness. So Ruth comes home that day, and Naomi finds out that she met Boaz, and she is thrilled. She says Boaz is their family redeemer. Now, this family redeemer thing, this was a cultural practice in Israel where if a man in the family died and he left behind a wife or children or land, it was the family redeemer's responsibility to marry that widow, to take up the land and protect that family. So Naomi, she begins to hope that perhaps there might still be a future for her family. Chapter 3 begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan to get Boaz to notice their situation. So Ruth is going to stop wearing clothes of a grieving widow, and she's going to show signs that she's available to be married. And so Ruth goes to meet Boaz on the farm that night. And as she approaches, Boaz wakes up, and he's totally startled. And Ruth makes her intentions very clear. She asks if Boaz will redeem Naomi's family and marry her. Boaz is once again amazed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi and her family, and he calls Ruth a woman of noble character. It's the same term used to describe the woman of Proverbs 31. So Boaz tells Ruth to wait until the next day, and he will redeem both Ruth and Naomi legally before the town elders. And so the chapter ends with Ruth returning to Naomi, and they marvel together at all of these recent events. In chapter 4, it all comes together. It turns out, at the last minute, Boaz discovers there is a family member who's closer to Naomi than he is, and he's actually eligible before him to redeem the family. But at the last second, this family member finds out that he's going to have to marry Ruth, the Moabite, and so he declines. But Boaz, remember, he knows Ruth's true character, and so he acquires the family property of Naomi, and he marries Ruth. And so just at the beginning, how Ruth was loyal to Naomi's family, so now Boaz is loyal to Naomi's family as well. The story concludes with a reversal of all of the tragedies from chapter 1. So the death of the husband and the sons is reversed as Ruth is married again and gives birth to a new son, granting joy to Naomi. And this symmetry between the opening and the closing, it's even more remarkable. So remember, the opening tragedy was followed by a great act of loyalty on the part of Ruth. And that is now matched by Boaz's act of loyalty that leads to the family's final restoration. And this symmetry, it highlights the design of the internal chapters as well. So each of the chapters begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan for their future. And that's followed by a providential meeting between Ruth and Boaz. And each chapter concludes with Naomi and Ruth rejoicing at what's taken place. This story is beautifully designed, and that design actually connects with a really...
What a beautiful story. What a great introduction. Let's hear it now from the Word of God. Again, I'm reading from Ruth 1, verses 6 to 22. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Let's hear from Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. I was at our men's breakfast yesterday, and somebody asked if a word of fatherly advice could be shared with the group. And then it made me think about today being Father's Day and this worship service, and I realized there's not even a male in my story today. You know, it's a mother-daughter relationship. So not great timing, but I'm actually going to make application for fathers at the end, so you can listen for that. So we've had an introduction to the story today here of Ruth. And I just want to focus on the scripture we heard from chapter 1. And we come to this pivotal moment where Ruth clings to Naomi. And just to introduce our thoughts to the idea of that kind of clinging and loyalty, when I think about someone clinging to another, there's especially two ways of clinging that come to my mind. One is clinging to another like out of desperation. You know, like, don't leave me, or life is going to fall apart if you're not here. Just that kind of desperation kind of clinging. The other is clinging to someone in determination. And I think we'll see that in Naomi here. Just this idea that I'm here, you can count on me, not going to leave, I'm committed. And so I just want to have us think about how Ruth demonstrates that kind of clinging today. So the story begins in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land. And so Elimelech and Ruth and Mahlon and Chilion, this family of four, leaves Bethlehem and they go to Moab. And it is happening on the time. And this past week, I just finished reading through Judges. And the last six chapters I listened to in my car, driving down from my home to church on Friday morning. And by the time I got to church, I was just, my heart was heavy with these stories that I was hearing. In the video, it talked about them as dark days. I was just, the whole way down I heard stories of murder and rape and retribution and whole peoples being wiped out and so forth. There's a lot of hard stuff going on in that story. It reminded me of just spending in half an hour listening to all the details of the war in Ukraine and all the tough stuff that's happening there. So that's kind of where my spirit was. But this story takes place. This is like a little snapshot within that bigger story, and it has a completely different feel to it. We see this personal interactions between this family and Boaz, and a story that contains some hope, some challenges, some struggles, commitment, and some really positive characters that we could draw from and learn from. And just a note about next week I asked a few women to read the book of Ruth and just share how either Naomi or Ruth really, somehow they could identify with one of them or what they learned from these two women. So I'll put that out there if anybody feels led to share something about these two women. You can share that next week. But now we have these three widows. And word gets back to Naomi that the Lord has visited his people back home. Back in Bethlehem, the Lord has provided food for the people. And by the way, Bethlehem means the house of bread. So it's kind of a fitting part of the story there. And so Naomi, we're talking about loyal love. Naomi demonstrates loyalty towards her daughters-in-law by encouraging them to stay. Like, don't go with me. There's just no life for you as a foreign widower back home. And so in this case, loyalty didn't mean clinging and please come with me, I'll take care of you. But her act of love was to say, I don't think there's anything for you. Stay here, find a husband. and be blessed here. And she offers a blessing over them. But these two daughters-in-law just insist that they go along with Naomi. And finally, Naomi at least convinces Orpah to remain there in Moab. But Ruth clings to Naomi. And I just want to just say a quick word about Orpah. I don't think we should take from this that Orpah didn't have loyalty or she's not demonstrating commitment to her mother-in-law. And we're all called to be selfless towards especially the certain people that the Lord brings into our orbit of life. And for whatever reason, maybe God's plan wasn't for Orpah to show this kind of loyalty to go back to Bethlehem. And so maybe her life was blessed and she was a blessing to others back in Moab. But Ruth clings. And cling means to hold fast, to stick together. In Genesis 2, we read that this call for a man to leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. What God's joined together, let no one separate. You know, we hear that, those words, in wedding ceremonies. And it reminded me of something that I may have heard last weekend at the LMC event at Camp Hebron, but I often hear this idea in teachings about being a missional church or a church fulfilling God's mission in this world. And it's this idea of community versus communitas. And I think that's just a made-up word in this orbit of teaching. But community, in this case, community being we really love to be together. We love having our picnics and our times together. I love to talk after church. But there's a deeper level of community. In this case, they term it communitas, where a group of people are in a challenging situation together. And in going through that together, it binds them together much more than they're bound together in their conversations and in their picnics and visits together. Something, you know, you can see it in sports teams, you can see it in marriages, you can see it in churches who are facing some kind of challenge or trying to do something challenging in the name of Jesus. Soldiers in the foxhole, you know, all these, when a group of people face something challenging, and just reminded me of what Ruth and Naomi are about to embark on as they travel back to Bethlehem. It's not going to be easy. We need to rely on God. We need to rely on each other and see how the Lord provides for us. In Psalm 63, the psalmist talks about clinging. In this case, clinging to God. I cling to you, O Lord. Your strong right hand holds me secure. Your love is better than life. And I think I mentioned before, I kind of contrasted clinging out of desperation and clinging out of what's the word? Determination. Thank you. It's the key word and I forget it. And so I think with God, it's some of both. On the one hand, we do cling to God out of desperation. Without you, Lord, I don't truly have life. Without you, I struggle in my sin. Without you, I don't have a good shepherd. But there's also that clinging out of determination. And we see lots of Bible characters who really determined that by the strength God gave to them, that they would serve God, that they would be faithful to Him, that they would complete the mission that He put out in front of them. And especially we could think of Jesus and His determination to finish this to the end. And so we get to this idea as Naomi clings to Ruth, as Ruth clings to Naomi, she really demonstrates what we read in the scriptures, a steadfast love or God's loving kindness. It's a love that includes a lot of different things together. It's a love that comes out of this deep care and devotion for the other person. It's a love that's really generous and pours forth all kinds of blessings. And it's a love that's enduring. It's a love that makes commitments or speaks vows or makes covenants. And so hopefully you hear God in all that. This God who makes covenant with us, makes promises that he won't break, that just pours forth his compassion and his sacrificial love to us. Just one way to think about it. If you remember that story of Solomon, where these two women who live in the same household, they each have an infant, and one of them dies. And so they accuse each other of kind of switching the baby, and they both claim the surviving baby as their own. And Solomon, in his wisdom, kind of speaks into which one of these women truly demonstrates this deeper level of love that cares for the other above all else, that's committed to that other person. And so his proposal is, get me a sword, I'll cut it in half, and then at least you can each have half a baby, which sounds terrible. But clearly the one who was most, the true mother who had this deep love for this child, says, no, you know, let her have it. I want this baby to survive because I have such a deep love and concern for this baby. So Solomon's really tapping into which one of these women really has this deeper level of committed, love at all costs kind of concern for the other. So that's what Ruth is demonstrating here. That's how she's following or demonstrating the character of God in this. Like this steadfast love that's firmly fixed, it's not going to change. You know, love always hopes, it always protects, it always perseveres. Love never fails. That kind of love. And Ruth makes this vow to Naomi. Where you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you lodge or wherever you live, I'm going to live there. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. And wherever you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. You know, I'm committed to you through life, wherever it leads. And this vow is spoken even, may the Lord punish me ever so severely if anything but death separates us. You can hear how, you know, this story of Ruth is a great scripture used in a wedding ceremony, you know, because we're pulling out the same kind of understandings. Another way that we could kind of rewrite these statements that really show us the situation with Ruth and Naomi is Naomi could have said, instead of wherever you go, I will go. Honestly, she could have said, I'm going to undertake this difficult and challenging journey with you. You know, this is going to be wherever you go, that's going to be hard, but I'm going to go with you. Wherever you live, wherever you lodge, wherever you settle in, I'm going to settle in there. Even if that means poverty for me. And it sure looks like it's going to mean poverty for me as a widow in a foreign land. I'm going to live amongst a strange people. Your people are going to be my people. I very well could face rejection as I go to Bethlehem with you, Naomi. The book of Ruth is really neutral in this, but the Moabites were seen as, all throughout the Old Testament, were seen as enemies of Israel. So just being a Moabite woman isn't going to make her very popular back in Bethlehem. And even your God will be my God. I will worship this new God. And in fact, she says these vows in the name of Yahweh. You know, may Yahweh punish me ever so severely. So she's already speaking the language of Ruth's religion, Ruth's spiritual beliefs. So we hear in Ruth's commitment here, just this language of covenant. And we're reminded of the different covenants that God speaks, you know, spoken in a way that is so definitive. I will not break these promises that I make to you. And it reminds us of the power of our marriage vows that we speak and other vows that we might not declare them, but we, in a sense, in our actions, speak commitments to other people. And so when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go, she said nothing more. She let it rest. So we've been speaking about being in the grips, Naomi being in the grips of Ruth, as Ruth clung to her. Ruth here is in the grips of something. She's in the grip of her deep convictions. And I'm wondering if that calls to mind anything for you, where you've ever experienced that kind of determination to love someone, no matter what the outcome or no matter what the challenges that you're facing, I am determined that I am going to stick by your side through this. You know, that's the determination that Ruth exemplifies here. And it's interesting, we want to turn this towards applying it to ourselves, but Ruth seems to be identified by this kind of steadfast love and commitment when she gets to Bethlehem. Clearly she's going to be identified as a Moabite woman, but it seems as you read the story that even more so, she's identified as this woman who returned with Naomi and demonstrated this amazing level of commitment and steadfast love to her mother-in-law. There's a point where in chapter 2, Boaz and Ruth have a conversation. And Ruth thanks Boaz for the many ways that he's been gracious to her. And that's what we'll look at next Sunday. But she says, "What have I done to deserve such kindness? I'm only a foreigner." You know, that thinking that's her identity, this woman from Moab. But Boaz replies and says, "Yes, I know, but I also know about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you have left your father and your mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." Wouldn't that be great if we had that identity? If people identified us by how we demonstrate steadfast love towards God and towards other people in our lives. So the question for us then is, are you known for your loyal love, like Ruth? And to whom are you making vows of this kind of loyal, committed love? This love that comes out of deep care and concern, a love that's sacrificial, it serves the other above oneself, it demonstrates this dedication through all circumstances, and generous, seems to have no limits. Would others see that in your love and your commitment to God, in your relationship with your spouse or your relationship with your friends? Is that what identifies your relationship with fellow church members here as we band together? And here's the Father's Day application. Fathers, whether you're a father or a spiritual father of others, do you bless your children with your presence in their lives and your dedication to their well-being? You know, can you translate what Ruth is demonstrating here into your own life as a father? And maybe even that you're able to fill that void for others who don't have such a strong father figure in their life. So I've mentioned so far, just in applying this, I've mentioned the obvious, showing dedication and deep commitment to God, to our spouse, family, friends, church members. But we also can, even if we don't speak out these vows, we still can demonstrate this kind of steadfast love towards people we meet along the way in life. You might think about your customers at work, your neighbors. I think about when I'm out doing therapy work, you know, am I demonstrating this as I meet with my patients? And it brought me back to the story of the Good Samaritan. And I remembered that, I think it was in September, I talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I think I did the same study of this Hebrew word of hesed, which is steadfast love or loving kindness, as demonstrated by this Samaritan who didn't have any kind of relationship with this man coming out of Jerusalem who he found along the road. But again, listen from, I think it's from the book of Luke, of how this Samaritan man demonstrates this kind of a dedicated kind of love, even if it's only in a short time period or short circumstance. The man saw him and took pity on him lying along the road. He went and he bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine upon him. He put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn and he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 coins and gave it to the innkeeper and said, continue to take care. You can see that kind of dedicated love, even if it's only for a short time period. And I found this, and I think I quoted it back then, where it's interesting how what I found from a commentator is almost like the vows that the Samaritan would have spoken to this man. My safety is yours if you have need of it. My security is yours if you have need of it. My resources are yours if you have need of them. My health is tied to your health. My well-being is tied to your well-being. And the commentator said, if we'd live this way, it would transform the world. Obviously, if we would follow the love of Jesus and his example, and receive his sacrificial love, it would change everything. And again, back in the Good Samaritan message, I quoted, Martin Luther King, who said, the real difference between the priest and the Levite from the Samaritan in this story is the question that each one must have asked. The priest and the Levite likely asked, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? You know, focusing on self, what's going to happen to me in this circumstance? The Samaritan likely asked a very different question. If I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to him? You know, that kind of dedicated love for that other. And I hear Ruth in that second example. So Ruth was able to transcend that question of what's going to happen to me. You know, that was a huge question. What's going to happen to me if I go with Naomi to Bethlehem? But she was able to get to that question, you know, what will happen to Naomi? How can I demonstrate steadfast love to my mother-in-law, Naomi? So I think we're constantly confronted with that question in life, this choice of how we might commit ourselves to that kind of dedicated sacrificial love towards other people, especially the ones that we've made vows of love and commitment to. So how will we respond when we're faced with the same thing that Ruth was? Let's pray about that. Lord, thank you for this example that you've given us in Scripture, how you allow your characteristics, the very heart of your character, to come through in our story here today. I pray for each one here that we might first of all receive the steadfast love that you have offered to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, who set his face like flint to head to Jerusalem and to give himself in love for us. And help us not only to receive that love, but then to pour out that kind of generous, dedicated, loyal love towards others that you've put before us in our lives. We can only do this by your strength, by your Spirit. And as we're filled with your love, it's then that it can be poured out on other people. So just pray for deep loyalty in our lives, especially to one another here in this church. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.